2 Samuel 13. I'm just going to give you my heart, okay? That's it. And I hope by now that you all know how much that we all love you. I've never, ever had a love for a group of people as I do for this church. And I think that's just the Lord. You know, there's some harsh language in the Bible if you take it that way. Truth sometimes hurts. And I can come across as mean, but I'm not being mean, okay? I'm going to preach the Bible to you. And sometimes the sword cuts. In fact, more often than it comforts, it cuts. It's for our correction. This world has perverted what love really is. It's perverted love to mean that it's abuse to spank your children. You know, the Bible says if you don't, that you hate them.
That's right.
You realize when it says to train up a child in the way that he should go, that's what we're supposed to do, is train them. Train them. You raise pigs. That's what you do. You don't raise children. You train them. And every action that we take as parents is a training action, be it good or evil. If we put it in perspective for ourselves, what are we training them? Are we equipping them with the decision-making skills that they're going to need to know the opposite of good and evil, and even better, good from better, and better from best? All of us as parents would say we want the best for our children, right? Amen? We want the absolute best for our children. So let me ask you a question. If we don't train them, how are they going to know what the best is? How are they going to know? We're just going to expect them to know? If we will heed the warnings given in Scripture, they'll know. If we actually diligently teach them the way the Bible says to, diligently teach, diligently. You know, this isn't just teach them here and there. Diligently. That means commit yourself to teaching your children the way of God. Everything that we do is a moment to teach. If we mess up, it's a good moment to teach them what we did wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the parent. I don't do wrong. Okay? Go ahead and have that attitude, and I promise you, you'll regret it. You will. No one can see your hypocrisy better than your children. No one. Now, youngins, that doesn't give you license to do things that contrary to God's Word. You too will give an account to God. As an individual. So, why do I say all this? David loved God. He was a man after God's own heart. But it doesn't appear that he diligently committed himself to his children. I could be wrong, but just reading the life and times of King David, there was a lot of wool pulled over David's eyes because he didn't want to see his children for what they were. 2 Samuel 13 is a very heartbreaking chapter. A lot of evil takes place right here. And it covers 3 years. Actually, more than that. It covers 5 year span, okay? And we can see it. We're going to read the first 5 verses and then we're going to jump into this, okay? I don't want to get ahead of myself. But just suffice it to say, this is a warning because I love you. God put my family here for His reasons, okay? And I thank God for it. But I promise you, you can learn from even our mistakes. It's not easy to lose a child. It would be easier to bury a child. You don't want to go through it. I promise you. So before we read, let me ask you this question. Who or what is influencing your children? Who or what is influencing your children? Let's see what thus saith the Lord. Verse number 1, chapter 13. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for all that you do for us, and we're thankful, Lord, that we have the Word of God that we can learn from and grow by. Lord, I pray that you break up the fallow ground in the hearts of people tonight. Please, Lord, help us to heed the warnings given us by Scripture, and help us to learn from the mistakes of those that have gone before. If wisdom is known of her children, Lord, I pray that her children will be very present here tonight. We just ask that the Spirit of God would have the preeminence in hearts and lives tonight. Challenge us, Lord, and change us for your honor and glory. We'll be careful to give it to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to see five different people that this one little event had an effect on, an immediate effect. But it had an effect on an entire nation. This one little thing of the lust of the flesh. We're given the warning of it in 1 John. And the lust of the flesh is more destructive than probably anything else because it's based in pride. You see, the devil will take your lust and he'll dangle it out in front of you. And he'll say, come and get it. But I can't figure out a way. Well, I'll give you someone who can help you. You see, Jonadab wasn't just a friend of Amnon. He was Shimeah, David's brother's son. That means he was his cousin. He was his cousin. So the five people that we see here are Amnon. Okay. Eventually, he was murdered by his own brother for forcing himself on his own sister. Okay, let that sink in, the wickedness behind this. The law, if you'll turn to Deuteronomy 22, please. Turn to Deuteronomy 22 while I go through these five characters and while you're looking there. You see, the law said that if you force someone, if a man was to force a woman, he was to be stoned. Okay? So it's kind of hard to say it was murder, but it was accepted after the time of the incident. And therefore, 2 years passes and then he's killed. Another player in this is Tamar. She was the innocent woman, okay? But this caused her to lose her purity and her position in the kingdom. We're going to see that. We also see Absalom, Tamar's brother, okay? Apparently, they had the same mother, and Amnon had a different mother than these two, okay? But we see the cause, he harbored, hatred for Amnon, and he dealt with him very craftily. See, Absalom was a crafty man, and he had some wisdom, but he used it in the wrong ways. Okay? David was a man after God's own heart, and had Absalom come to David the way he should have and presented Deuteronomy 22 to him, David probably would have done the right thing. Maybe, maybe not. You see, but it affected David in a way where he lost two sons and the honor of one of his daughters. That's a terrible thing. It cost David a lot. And then we see Jonadab. He was the subtle guy. And the only thing he had to gain was the drama of it all. He loved it. So who's influencing you? What is influencing you? Is it good or is it bad? It's very important. You're there in Deuteronomy 22. Let me get there real quick. Sorry. I want you to see this, okay? In Deuteronomy 22, 25, it says, "But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her." Okay? Then in Leviticus chapter number 20, verse 17, it says, "And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and see and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity." I wonder if somebody would have been thinking biblically at that time, would this have turned out this way? Probably not. I don't think for a minute that David didn't know these scriptures. A man after God's own heart is what the Bible calls David. I mean, a man that loved God and loved truth more than anything. What if somebody would have brought this? Okay? But we're getting back here, okay? We see here in verse number 2 how Amnon was so vexed. I mean, his spirit was agitated. He was irritated by this, troubled, could not get it off his mind. Y'all ever love something so much that you couldn't quit thinking about it? And it becomes like an idol to you? Your waking thought is that thing, whatever it is. You know, if it's, man, I really need a new car. Man, I really need a new whatever, new pair of shoes, a new gun. Heaven forbid, maybe it's, I need that new Bible. I mean, anything can become an idol. We have to be very careful with that. But see, Amnon loved his sister so much that she became an idol to him. And he was vexed that he couldn't have her. You see, it says here, "For she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her." He really couldn't figure out a way. And I guarantee you that eventually, if he would have just left it alone, he might have been vexed for a time, but it would have gone away. Think back to that time when there was something in your life that you had to have. I mean, you loved it so much you would do anything to get it, and you didn't get it. Did it ruin your life? Honestly, did it ruin your life? So you got over it, and you went away from it. Do you think about it anymore? You probably haven't thought about it until this very moment right now. Right? I mean, that's 25 years ago and I'm still thinking about that one thing. Man, you got a major issue. Get over it. Well, for 6 months, man, I really want that boyfriend. He's the most popular guy. He's the handsomest of us all. I don't even know how y'all talk, okay? I don't even know if handsomest is a word. It's probably not. I mean, he's no brother Brad, but no, I'm just... Thank God for that. But here's the point. That thing that you desire, or that person that you desire, or that status that you desire, It ain't as important as you think it is. You know, in high school, I never got into the whole hierarchy thing. You know, I just wanted to be left alone. But I saw people, my brothers, man, they had to be the most, I mean, they had to be the guy. And their whole life was dedicated to that. And man, I'm like, what are y'all wasting your time on that nonsense for? But I guarantee you, if we were to go and ask them, what was it like to be the most popular guy in your class? I don't know. I don't remember. Or yeah, it was pretty cool. Okay, so where are all your friends now? When's the last time you talked to them? What about all the stupid things that you did with your friends? Can you recall those things? How about the time you went to jail because you had a stupid thing that if you went to, or if your buddy went to jail, you had to go with them? That was my motto. Yeah, that's a great thing to achieve, by the way. You know how stupid that is? You know how many times I would have not gone to jail if I hadn't have been with those idiots? Most of whom are dead? Yeah, that's a good thing to be proud of, right? To look back at your life and look at the good things that you've done with your friends? Tell me, how many of those good things are as plentiful as the bad things or the stupid things? You get two teenage boys in a car by themselves, it's a miracle we don't have more deaths on the road as it is. It's a miracle. I'm thankful that my mother never let me get a license until she knew I could handle that deadly vehicle. That's a deadly weapon. That's a deadly weapon is what it is. And give it to the hands of a stupid 16-year-old boy. You know what else is a deadly weapon? Giving your daughter to a stupid 16-year-old boy.
Amen.
Or a stupid 20-year-old boy. Well, she loves him. I don't care. You remember I said, you can learn from our mistakes? It doesn't matter if they come to you carrying a King James Bible. It doesn't matter if your best friend is wearing a skirt. You know how many children sit on pews and grew up in churches that their heart is not in it? And they know the talk. They know the walk. They know how to trick you. I've seen it time and again, and I'm not saying we have that. I'm just saying you have to be careful. You love your kids, right? So who's influencing them? What are you allowing them to be around? Well, they want it. Good. You know what? If I let my boys, they would eat ice cream and chocolate bars for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Maybe throw some cookies in there. But they want it. I don't care. No is a very powerful word, and it saves a lot of heartache. Maybe not for that 5 or 10 minutes while they're throwing a fit. Well, what if my kid doesn't talk to me? Good, they'll get over it. I promise you they'll get over it. There were times when we would tell Sydney, no, you're not going. And she would throw her fit. And after 2 or 3 days, everything was fine. And then after a couple of weeks, we lax and realize, okay, she's good. You can go hang out. And guess what? Whatever happened in 3 weeks' time where she was back to her sweet self, within 2 hours, it was destroyed. You see, God gave our children a head to protect them and, yes, to make their decisions.
Yeah.
I was in no way equipped to move out of the house at 17 years old and think I could make the right decision.
That's right.
But I knew everything. My parents were idiots. It wasn't until I was, I don't know, 27, 28 that I realized, you know, I need some advice. Hey, Dad, what would you do in this situation? Some people learn faster than me. Amnon couldn't figure out a way to get what he wanted. And eventually, it would have gone away. It would have gone away. He would have stopped. Guarantee it. Because you know how I know? Because I've been there. Got to have that one thing. Put whatever it is right there, and eventually you forget about it and you move on with life. But see, here comes Jonadab, and he's his good buddy, you know. They're good friends, man. This is my homeboy. Yep, he was his cousin. David says, oh, he's kin. It's okay. Man, that's my brother's son. He's a good boy. You know how many good boy, man, I was a good boy to your parents. You know how many parents loved me? And the whole time I'm like, you know, I'm going to get him in trouble, right? I didn't have my friend's best interest. I had, let's go have some fun. And whatever happens, happens. And that was Jonadab's idea. He was a very subtle man. He says, wait a minute. Amnon, you mean to tell me that you love her so much? You're the king's son. What's going on here? You can have anything you want. Why are you even letting this happen? But you don't understand, man. I really love her. You see how beautiful she is? Well, yeah, but so what? Go get her. He could have gone to David, and David would have said, well, first off, she's your sister. You're a wacko. No. Because David knew the law, right? But instead, Jonadab kind of probably thought that. And he says, you know, do this. Just do this. And the king isn't going to tell her she can't come. You know, it's not going to be a big deal. She's your sister. She's giving you meat. It's okay. And guess what? You can do whatever you want at that point. All because of a friend. And Amnon says, that might work. Let's try it. And it worked. You see, before Tamar came, the Bible says that David sent home. Look at this. Verse number 7. Then David sent home to Tamar. Okay, so where was Tamar living? David's house. She was in the palace. Okay? We're going to see what this cost her. This is terrible. And she was the innocent party. Okay? So David sends to his own house, gets his daughter, and says, go to your brother's house and cook him some cake. Okay? That's what he wants. He's sick. He needs to get over it. Whatever. Just help him out. So she does. Then all of a sudden, Amnon starts throwing his little hissy fit. Okay, look at verse 9. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. He's like, nope, I'm not eating. And then he says, all the men, all y'all, get out of my house. All y'all, leave me in Tamar alone. Man, that should have been red flag number one. Somebody should have stepped up and said, no, that's not probably the best idea. And we're going to see here how it was probably a well-known thing in the kingdom that Amnon loved Tamar. We're going to see it in just a second, okay? So, Amnon says, okay, y'all get out. And he says, hey, why don't you bring the meat into the bedchamber? You know, I think I'm going to leave now. But she did. And then the Bible says that Amnon took a hold of her and forced her, and he was stronger than her, and that's the end of the story, right? No, it didn't end there. She says, don't do this. This should not happen. This should not happen in Israel. And he says, it doesn't matter. And she said, no, go to the king. He's not going to refuse to give you to me or give me to you. And he says, no. And he forces her. And you know what happens then? That thing that he loves so much, that thing that he held up here and couldn't get off his mind, made himself sick about it. You know what the Bible says? That he hated her. He hated her. You know how many guys I knew in high school would get what they wanted? And man, they'd tell you, oh, you're so sweet. You are the best thing ever. Yeah, you're so beautiful. Man, you're precious. Girls, come on, ladies, back me up if you haven't heard any of this, okay? Don't you know, you're the smartest girl I ever met in my life. Man, you're beautiful. You should be mine. That's how they work. Then they get what they want. And you know what they do with them? get away from me. I never want to talk to you again. And you know who's devastated? The girl. I've got two sisters. Yes, it happened to both of them. Why? And girls, I don't mean this in a mean way. Because you let your emotions rule. But he says he loves me. You're stupid. But he says he cares about me. You're stupid. I'm not being mean. Like I said, I love y'all too much to let you go unwarned. This is how boys operate. I've seen it time and again. Over and over and over. But he loves me. You don't understand, Brother Brad. He really loves me. No, he doesn't. If he loved you, you know where he'd be right now? Sitting right next to you in the pew, encouraging you to read your Bible, encouraging you to be at church, encouraging you to go soul winning, and he would be wanting to help you witness at school. Yeah. Oh yeah, he loves you all right, because he's here, right? He's got my best interest in his mind. No, he doesn't. He's a clown, and you ought to get rid of him.
Amen.
By the way, if that little boy don't have respect for your dad, he won't respect you.
That's right.
And you ought to have enough sense to listen to your dad.
Amen.
Ask me how I know. You want to know? Come talk to us. We'll sit with you. And I'll tell you. Because I love you. I know the fruit from what is being sown. I promise you it would be easier to bury a child than it would be to live at odds. I said before that it was probably a well-known thing in the kingdom that Amnon loved Tamar, okay? Look with me at verse 19. Now this is when she's leaving, okay? Well, let's read verse 18. And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. He didn't just say, I am done with you. He said, I am done with you. Got what I wanted? Bye. Get out of here. Verse 19. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her head and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. Verse 20. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? Why would he ask that question? Why would he ask that question? It was because everyone knew. That tells me King David probably knew. You know, and it comes down to 2 years goes by. He tells her, don't say anything. Don't say anything. 2 years goes by, or 3 years rather, goes by, and he's got sheep. And it comes time to shear the sheep, and he goes to the king, and he says, hey, king, you know, dad, why don't you come with us and bring your servants? We're going to go have a shearing party. Amnon knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. He didn't need Jonadab because he was just as wicked. And he says, come on, dad, come on with us. And the king says, nope, I can't go. And he says, let all your sons go with us. Okay, I'll let the boys go. Make sure Amnon goes. And he says, why do you want Amnon to go? Now David wants to ask questions. You're kidding me, right? Maybe 3 years ago, if he would have asked that question to Amnon, this wouldn't have happened. Maybe. Maybe not. But here we go. Why do you want Amnon to go, Absalom? Well, he's one of your sons. He's my brother. He should go with us. Now, they go, and guess what happens? Just guess. He hated him, and his hatred came to fruition, and he kills his own brother because of Tamar. Now, was it a righteous death? It wasn't, because he did it subtly. If he would have gone to David and said, the law says this, Dad, this is what he did, and what he did was wicked, and he should be put to death for it. But he didn't do that. What'd he do? He took the matter into his own hands. I want you to see something about Jonadab. There's only two references, or, you know, the only time the Bible ever mentions Jonadab is right here in chapter 13. So look with me at verse 32. Okay, well, verse 30. And it came to pass while they were in the way that tidings came to David saying, Absalom has slain all the king's sons, and there is none, not one of them left. Then the king arose and tear his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. So here's King David. He's mourning. He thinks all of his kids are dead. All of his boys, they're all dead. And Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. Now, how did Jonadab know this? Something tells me that he had conspired with Absalom. I'm just throwing it out there because he's here. No news had come yet that only Amnon was dead. How did Jonadab know this? Because he was subtle. Because he had a wicked, wicked mind. And he was influencing the king's boys. And you know what he got out of it? Drama. He was a drama queen. He loved it. Man, did you see? Did you hear? That was Jonadab. He was the Proverbs 6 man. You know, the subtle guy. The guy that walks around pointing his finger. Looking for reasons, looking for ways. That was Jonadab. According to the way I read this, I may be wrong. So who's influencing your kids? But he's their cousin. He wouldn't do that. My cousin wouldn't do that to me. Really? Your cousin in church? How about your aunts, your uncles, your brothers? I said Wednesday night, there's certain family members that my children will not go with. My daughter's one of them. But she's in church. She's not saved. She's a faker. She's trying to fool everybody. She can walk the walk, talk the talk, and dress the dress almost. That doesn't mean I don't love her. That just means I'm not willing to let it happen again. There are people that my boys won't go with, period. My father-in-law, won't happen. I made that mistake once and it won't happen again. Went against my better judgment, it'll be okay. He's their grandpa, he's got their best interest, right? No, wrong. Do you realize that one overnight slumber party can totally decimate everything that you've been trying to instill in your children for years? One slumber party. I said before, it doesn't matter if they're carrying a King James Bible. I can tell you story after story after story, not just about my home, but other preachers' homes. Terrible things that have happened because they let a little boy spend the night with their son. Something very similar happened to a man that I know. As to this story, by allowing another young man who was a member of their church stay the night. I promise you, you cannot be too careful. Amen. If you love them, prove it. Well, it's going to make them mad. I hope so. You know, if you don't have any enemies, you never stood for nothing. If your children never get mad at you, that means you never stood for nothing. Stand. What's wrong with standing? But they want to do it. I know. Guess what? But Dad, I really want it. I know. I don't care. I don't care. I know you do. I really don't care. You know, they get their own money. You know, they have their own money. And they're like, ooh, I'm going to go buy that. No, you're not. But it's my money. Yeah, it's a stupid item to buy, okay? Learn from me. It's stupid. You don't need it. In 10 minutes, I promise, you're going to walk away from it and never think about it again. You know that one of the best things we ever did was get rid of cable TV? You know what it did? It got rid of commercials. All of a sudden, their wants just kind of disappeared. Now they walk through Walmart. Ooh, I want that. Okay, let me know in an hour if you want it. If we leave the store and in 3 days you're still talking about it, okay, maybe I'll let you spend your money on it. You know, here's the thing. We are to guide them. We get to control their thoughts. What? Yes, we do. And that's how God wants us to do it. And by the way, youngins, your parents don't hate you when they say no.
Amen.
You don't get to do it. You just don't understand how I feel. I know. I forgot. But I do know this. I hate you. No, no parent ever says that. You know what? You're right. I may not understand how you're feeling right now, but I know it's not going to matter in 10 days. We have a society that is so focused on me and what I want, and I deserve it, and I get to have it, and you have to give it to me. That's our society. Guess what? We are not of this world. If we're acting that way, you better do a checkup. You better do a checkup. Because which master are you following? Who's influencing you? Well, I saw this movie, you know, and this little girl, you know, her dad was so mean, and then all of a sudden they get a horse. How many of y'all seen the Flicka and all the horse movies? Okay, I know she was. Come on. This is fairy tale land. It's not real. Well, I saw this Christmas movie one time, and this girl got in an accident, and here comes the tow truck driver, and he's just so handsome, and he just loves me so much. I'm thinking on the fly here, okay? Go with it. Here's the point. Don't let Hollywood determine what your happiness is. Don't let society tell you what you have to do. You have to move out and try different partners, right?
Come on. That's right.
Let me tell you something. And I take it even to the boys.
Yeah.
If you're not married, you're to stay at home and submit to your father and your mother. Period. Well, that's old-fashioned. Amen. You know what that saves you? A lot of drama.
Amen.
It saves you from being around Jonadab and all of his little buddies and his little girlfriends. And he said, and then she was like, and he was like, all, and I'm all like, and it was all like, and at the end of it, it was all destruction. How many times you want to go to jail for doing something stupid? Well, I would never. Well, if you would have asked me when I was 8 years old how I thought my life would have ended up, I promise you it wouldn't have ended up anything like it really did. If you would have asked me at 16, you would have got a different response from even when I was 8. And now you ask me, and I thank God that I'm still alive. 90% of what I did, I never would have done if I hadn't had Jonadab right alongside me. I promise you. And I've got friends that never would have done what they did had I not been there. You ever seen a group of young people and they're standing there and somebody says, hey, let's go to the golf course and take the golf carts and ride them around and just, you know, it's 11 o'clock at night. Yeah, it'll be fun. Let's do it. And there's always the one or two guys, man, I don't know. Oh, come on, you sissy, let's go. Come on. What are you, just not man enough to do it? Well, yeah, well, okay, if you guys say so, let's go. We did that, okay? My buddies got arrested for driving a golf cart. It's not funny. Through town at 1 o'clock in the morning. We broke into the clubhouse and took all the alcohol, took the golf carts, and went driving uptown. Ours broke down. Thank God we didn't get arrested. They did. Instead, we jumped behind the wheel of the pickup and went home. Yeah, that was brilliant. It's stinking wicked. And I never would have done it had it not been for Jonadab. Ever. I'm not trying to glorify sin. I'm trying to tell you, these are real things. And this can happen to you. But that boy loves me so much. Man, he loves me so much. You just don't know, Brother Brad. He loves me. I know, he says he does. I know. But you don't know. And then you give your purity to him. And in 3 months, you find out that in 6 more months, you get to be a mother. And all of a sudden, little boy, he ain't the man you thought he was. And now you get to raise that child alone. Well, that would never happen to me. Why don't you do something? Do this. Right now, do it. I'm not asking you. Do it. This right here, you have it. And it wants what it wants. And if you don't listen to your parents, it's going to get what it wants. Because you're going to find some excuse to do it. Don't. Listen to the warning. Well, I'm struggling with this. I don't know what to do. Come talk to us. There's ladies in here that would help you. There's men in here that would help you. Guess what? We've all been there. Guarantee you, you could take a poll of all the adults in here who said, I would never let that happen. And it did. Amen?
Amen.
I never was going to try crack cocaine, ever. That was the dirtiest thing any person could ever do. Until I did. Be very careful with your influences. Very careful. And parents, there may be some family that you have to say, no, they don't get to go with you. Yeah, that's an easy thing to do, right? You let them go with your parents and they take them somewhere where they know they're not supposed to be. And I promise you, your children are not strong enough to say, Grandma, I shouldn't go here. Auntie, I can't be here. They're not strong enough. And how dare we put them in a position where they have to be? By the way, can I say this? Our children aren't missionaries.
That's right.
I'm so sick of this nonsense. We have to put them in public schools so they can be salt and light. Right, because they're strong enough to be around all that peer pressure. Because you do it, right?
Come on.
Do we love them? I mean, really. Not. Yeah, I love them so much that I don't want them to ever complain. No, do we love them enough to make them complain? Do we, really? Well, they want it. I know they do. How many times have you given into your flesh and it ended so well? Pretty rare. Maybe you got lucky. Maybe you didn't get caught. Who knows what it is? But I promise you, our children are not as strong as we think they are. And guess what, youngins? That doesn't mean you're dumb. That doesn't mean you're stupid. That just means you don't have a lot of experience yet. That's all that means. I promise you, when I was 18, I knew more than every 30-year-old out there. And then I hit 30 and realized I knew less than I thought I did. Listen to your parents. They love you. And I promise you, they love you more than Grandma. And by the way, y'all, these boys, God gave them to me and her. He didn't give them to my in-laws. He didn't give them to my parents. They're mine. They're mine. So guess what? Sometimes date night gets put on hold. Because I have to be careful with whom they go. I can't just send them with my parents. I have to be careful. But grandma and grandpa say, you know how much I love them. I want to see them. I want them to spend the night. I want them to, yeah, I know you do. And I know you love them, but you don't love them as much as I do. And you're not going to tell them no. We were at my mom's house and we wake up in the morning and the boys are eating brownie fudge sundaes for breakfast at 7:30 in the morning. And we're wondering by 9 o'clock, they're like out of it because they're on a sugar high and they come down. Yeah, that was a brilliant thing. And we were there. Mom, don't do that. Ah, it's so cute. Ah. Next day, same thing. Mom, I'm serious. Please don't do that. It's not an easy battle to have. But you don't understand. They want it. I know. So did Amnon. He wanted it enough that it caused some major issues in an entire kingdom. He didn't care about what it was going to do to his dad. He didn't care about what it was going to do to his sister. You realize that when Tamar left and she goes to Absalom's house and Absalom says, has Amnon been with thee? And guess where she lived from that point forward? She didn't live in the king's house anymore. She lived in Absalom's house. She didn't have everything she had before. And it wasn't even her fault. Imagine that. You see, all of this had an effect on all of these people. And God records it for us to just read and pass over and never pay it no mind, right? That's how we act. Well, that wouldn't happen to me. I know, because it never happened to me either. Not that situation. But I could give you 1,000 situations that should have never happened, but because of stupidity and Jonadab, they did. So who's your influence? What music is influencing you? What television is influencing you? What movies? What family? Which family members? Now look, I'm gonna clarify this. I don't think it's wrong to be around family, okay? I love being around my mom. I love being around my dad. But I love my children more. And I'm not going to sacrifice my children at the altar of grandma and lose them because of inconsistencies, because of hypocrisy. They know what's expected. And it is very difficult to say, no, Dad, we don't do that. Dad, please don't say that. Oh, I guess I'm alone. We were at Christmas at my mom's. And my brother shows up, and our family tradition was Crown Royal. My brother shows up with a bottle, and him and Pops are in there, and they're not taking shot for shot. They're drinking a glass. And I'm not condoning it, okay? But my mom, in her zeal, goes to my stepdad, who's lost, and my brother, who's lost, and both think whatever they think about us, and tells them, Brad doesn't want to see his kids, want his kids to see that. Y'all need to put it away in my own, in my stepdad's house. Not my house, his house. I'm there. While I appreciated her sentiment, it also made me go, oh man, how am I going to smooth this over so that I can share the gospel with them? And so I told my pops, I said, you know, Pops, this is your house. He said, Brad, I would never do anything to hurt those boys. And I know you wouldn't, not intentionally. I get it. He said, your mom loves those boys enough that she's going to say something. And I said, so do I, but this is your house. I'll leave. It's his house. But in that, I gained his respect enough to be able to keep the communication going. And I never want to lose that. So I want to be careful so I can win them. Not so I can sit there and be with them while they're wallowing in their sin. And I'm not going to make my children sit there and wallow in their sin with them. I'm not going to do that. None of us should. And we shouldn't be expected to. Grandma and Grandpa are going to say, but don't you know I love them? They need to be around us. How are they going to know about their family? How are they? Guess what? They're my kids, not yours. God didn't give them to you. You don't love them as much as I do. Are we willing to have that battle? And is it easy to do? It's not. Is it easy to say, you're not hanging out with that person ever again? Oh boy, you want to tear a house up and cause strife real quick? Tell your child that they can't hang out with their friend, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, or whoever it is. You don't understand. They might run away. They'll come back. They're not prepared to run away. They'll come back. And if they run away, go learn the hard way, I guess. When one child can cause so much strife that you're afraid of that child, what happened? What stands did you not take to get to that point? And the destruction that's going to result from that, because one day you're going to say, I'm done, I've had enough, we cannot do this anymore. And oh boy, you thought you had a battle before. Youngins, I promise you, there's no one in this room that loves you more than your parents. And they want the absolute best for you. But you don't understand, this boy, man, he's good looking. Does he love God? But my friend, you know, do they love God? Who's influencing you? You do know that there is good that can influence you, right? Do we remember that? There's a lot of good that can influence you. And guess what? What's wrong with having friends right here?
Amen.
Well, my life is not all about this. Mine is. This is my life. You're looking at it. This is what it's all about for me. What's so wrong with that? There shouldn't be anything wrong with that. If you think there's something wrong with that, you better do a checkup. So, do you want the good? Or do you want Jonadab? If Amnon would have gone to the law, he would have said, you know, if I do this, King David's going to stone me. But he got all of his reasoning from Jonadab and his flesh. So where's your reasoning coming from? Who's influencing you? Do you care? You know obedience is better than sacrifice, right? You know rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft? Problem is, most rebels have already stopped their ears. Please don't let that be you. Heed the warnings. There are thousands of ruined lives because of Jonadab. So who or what is your Jonadab? Who or what do you need to distance yourself from? Are you willing to be honest and seek? How about it, youngins? Your parents aren't as stupid as you think they are. And they love you. Don't ruin your life listening to Jonadab. Whoever or whatever it is, follow this. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. And if you don't get your answer here, even if your dad's wrong, which he's probably not going to be, but even if he is, he's going to do it with the best intention. And he's going to protect you. Amen. Let's pray.